You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
The world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365Copilot.
Jeremy Dinsmore, Antler Up Podcast. This is the Antler Up session. And right before I hit the record button, we were talking a little bit about Iowa and Penn State as yep. far as, well, really it's in football, not so much in basketball or other sports, but for definitely football and definitely wrestling, there is this, it's a rivalry now. It's a rivalry. Yeah. And for wrestling, you guys just smoke us. It's a no, like what Cale Sanderson has created over there is absolutely phenomenal. But then in football, that it's a teeter-totter type deal where there's some times where I feel like Iowa has pulled off some pretty big upsets against some pretty good Penn State teams.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I could think of two specific years. I mean, it would have been our 07 year, I think. I think it was my junior year in college when we came. We were like the number two team. You guys beat us in Iowa. And then a couple of, you know, obviously the 1 year then we had, I think it was with Saquon. We beat you guys, but there was one other year that we came in that you guys spoiled it on us again. And then I was at the Iowa game when we were ranked that this would have been my first year out of college. Daryl Clark was the quarterback. We still had Derek Williams, all that stuff. Or no, Williams, I think, was graduated at the time. And it was raining, and this was my first like alumni game. It was a night game. It was the whiteout type of ordeal.
Yes.
And Adrian Claiborne
yes.
just absolutely took over, man. And I remember seeing him. Our seats were lower on the opposite side where the student section was. So we were on the Iowa side, and I just remember him walking by being like, oh my gosh, that guy is just a absolute man child compared to everybody else. I mean, he yeah. just wrecked it. He blocked the punt, scooped it up and scored. I was like, okay, this game's going to be over. Like, he
well, I'll tell you, and that's funny you brought that up because this is a direct reflection of a connection to deer hunting because I was actually in Kansas. It was like November 4th or something like that. I can't really remember, but I was in Kansas. I don't know if I had already tagged out or if I and went down to Kansas to hang out with my uncle or if I went there early just to like hang out with him and I was going into tree stands and stuff and Adrian Claiborne blocked that punt and I went bananas and my uncle's a real chill, cool dude, but I went so crazy. He's like, all right, dude, like you got to chill out because the neighbors are going to call the cops. Like yeah. I went bananas, but anytime and I don't know, like I don't get that way with pro ball. But something about college football, it's not the same anymore with all this NIL,
pay to play,
like type stuff. You know, like when guys are sticking around all 4 years, that was so cool. It's like, dude, senior year, let's go. But now no one does that.
No,
no, it is. It's definitely left a weird sour taste in my mouth as far as like my engagement of how much like, I love college football and exactly what it brought. And I mean, I've always been a diehard Philadelphia Eagles fan just because where I grew up with my dad, and that was like his thing. And my grandfather was the Penn State guy. So it was like, my dad was the NFL guy. My grandfather was the college football guy. And so it was, but like, as I was growing up, I just loved college football. And then like when you're in college, that was like the thing, you know, like you're just engulfed with it and everything like that. And post-graduation, and I don't know, just you just slowly just see it changing and how much money goes into it. And obviously then now you have like kids are like, if you don't pay me this, I'm transferring. It's like, wait, what? Yeah. Like, how about you just stay, get that education? And
It's definitely, nobody gives a shit.
Nobody gives a shit. So it's very odd now. So now it's just been, I don't know. I'm not a huge Franklin fan, I guess you could kind of say. I never really was. But I mean, it'd be nice to finally like just get over the hump a little bit. I just don't know if that will ever, I mean, this year they're projected to be pretty well. And, so I don't know. Like last year's ride was a fun one with the whole playoff thing, like just even seeing how it played out. But I don't know. I didn't even watch the title game once Ohio State was back in. I was like, hey, here we go again. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like Penn State can have a good team, but guess what? You have Michigan and you have Ohio State that are going to have better teams.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't matter how good Penn State is. There's always going to be Michigan and Ohio State to go through. And now you got Oregon to go through too.
Yeah, it's so
weird. It's like, what's going on here? What's going on? The big, you know, the Big Ten is now the big, 16 or something like that.
Yeah. It's insane. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah. Whatever.
Well, and then whatever. You brought up wrestling. You got Bo Bassett that just decommitted from Iowa, and who knows where the hell he's going to
end up
going.
I don't even want to talk about it. Oklahoma State or Penn State, man. Those are the only two that have what he kind of wants.
I think Oklahoma State will be the one. I think that's where he'll end up going. I don't know. I just don't think. Yeah. I mean, I don't really follow it too insanely, but just hearing from like what some of my students were saying, and they're like when he first committed to Iowa, they're like, "Who? Penn State dodged a bullet." You know, they're like, that's the circus will be in town when that stuff happens. So I don't know.
Yeah, the thing about that is the reason that he decommitted from Iowa is because they don't have a regional training center that Penn State and Oklahoma State have. Like when Cale Sanderson got to, because you have to be able to be 250 miles from a regional training center. So Iowa doesn't have one. So you have to be basically in Iowa or in the surrounding area in order to be part of that program and wrestle there. Well, we didn't have that. Yeah. So, and then the University of Iowa was unwilling to buy a house for his family or put up like a living situation for his family. And so they're just like, okay, well, if we can't practice here, we're not going to be a part of this. And so they can go to, they have Penn State has regional training centers all over the country, which is why they get the best recruits because they have the widest footprint.
It's crazy.
Crazy. Anyway,
crazy
sports. So stupid how we get fired up about sports. Same thing about so no. stupid. Why we get fired up about animals with horns on their heads.
Yeah,
it's so stupid. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code E at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco for the hardworking American.
Car.
It's bizarre.
I got to show something real quick, Dan. Before we get going. So this is a lighted knock.
Yep.
And this is a Amazon special that my buddies and I, we've been using for the last, like, I think year and a half now. And it's an easy, like, black little switch. I broke it because I don't know, you probably won't be able to see, but I accidentally hit the knock with another arrow and I ripped it and busted out that little black piece, but there's a little notch. So I took the precaution of like not using it. It actually still fits perfectly. However, this thing had happened 2 weeks ago and it's still lit up.
See, that's crazy, dude. If a lighted knock can stay on for 2 weeks, why can't we be energy independent?
Right.
Like, what's going on here?
I don't know. It's crazy. But yeah, little Amazon special. Amazon. I think they come in a 4-pack or something like that for like $18.
Okay.
And they're
all right. So it's been on for awesome. 2 weeks.
Yeah, literally.
Has a lighted knock ever helped you in recovery of a deer?
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I've used lighted knocks, and it's so cool to see the flight path, right? You see the flight path and you're just like, oh, that's cool. But for me, and maybe it's good for like guys who video themselves and that way they can see the flight of the arrow. That's cool to watch. And then also where it hit so you can redo it. But like in the moment of truth, when you let that arrow go and you're not recording your hunts, I don't necessarily think a lighted knock does anything. I mean, then let's say it's a pass through and it gets buried in grass. What's that lighted knock do for you? Nothing really, it's buried. It's a lighted knock that's buried under grass or buried under leaves. Or maybe you're walking down and you see it, but it's so light outside, depending on when you do it. Like if you're following blood in the dark, it's not like a beacon. You know what I mean? So I use lighted knocks one season, and during practice with my lighted knocks on, I couldn't get half of them to shut back off. They were the ones you kind of hold and pull. And then when they shoot, they go off. But when you pull them, that's when they turn off. And I couldn't get them to go back off. And so I was just like, I'm never using these again. And so since then, I've always used the knocks that come with the arrows.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I never really had an opportunity where like, wow, man, thank goodness I had that light and knock because that saved me to recover this deer. I'm 100% certain on that one. Yeah. For me, it's mainly if I know I am going to be filming, like you said, it's that cool feature of knowing where you hit and to be able to look back on that aspect of things. But like you said, if you're not filming and you're using a light and knock, I mean, you're like, I'm pretty sure that was the right spot of to hit the deer. You know what I mean? Like you can't replay it back, but just a little, you know, just wanted to throw that out there to people that like I have been using these and my buddy's been using them for over a year and year and a half and
2 weeks.
$8 to $18, you get a bunch of them and they come with all the extra little fittings too. So whether you're using a micro diameter, like a 4mm or a 5 or 6, like they have the adapters for them too. So that comes within that package. I actually think, now that I think of it, I think they are in a 6-pack. So for 6 of these, they work really well. You're getting them for more than half the price of some of the ones that come in a 3-pack. And these actually have a better knock fitting and they weigh a little less too. So like if someone's really wanting to be within a weight range of an arrow, that's a really good option.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this, let's let the listeners decide. Oh, yeah. If you have an opinion about lighted knocks, message myself or Jeremy through Instagram. And we'll spark up a debate. So the next time that we have a conversation, we can look back on some of the responses to that. And maybe I'll make a post or I'll do a poll on the Nine Finger Chronicles Instagram page. And we'll say, hey, like, are lighted knocks worth it? And you can, and I'm guessing a lot of people just don't use them, but that's just me. But I also know a ton of guys who it's another little thing they like to do with their, you know, with their setup.
Yep. I like that.
Are you ready to go as far as the season is concerned?
We're getting there. Today I'm actually leaving tonight. I'm going up to camp tonight, going to do some work up at camp tomorrow to do kind of a little bit of everything, try to get a lot done in within a time frame, which will be see what we get done. But as far as like get some more cameras out, and I might prep some little areas that I just know that whether it even might even be for a rifle stand area or for early season, just being able to get up there and walk the grounds again since turkey season will be nice. So I'm going to try to do that, get that done, taken care of, do a little bit of things around camp, like you just mow the grass and all that type of stuff, just the basic necessities. But as far as like getting ready for the season, that's going to be a big piece. Like that's the beauty of getting out a couple times. Like I know there's guys out there that have put in more hundreds of more hours and miles than I have this postseason of scouting. But like, it's once you know your area a little bit and you're comfortable and you get the lay of the land and see how things change early fall, like if something happened or did not happen, like you're able to make a game plan and go from there, I think. And I've relied on that more so, and just kind of even what we discussed last week about the cameras, like being surprised more so. I don't know, like, it's same thing going with the scouting side of things, of seeing what the season rolls in and figuring things out a little bit as the season plays out. I mean, you know, there's two feelings, good feelings. Like I scouted it. It happened the way it should have, or happened semi the way it should have. And you had connected, like, that's a good feeling because the work you put in, you know, kind of helped with that. But then also like the challenge of grinding it through the season and figuring things out along the way is also another good fun challenge. So, I'm excited though, just because we got this property last year and had a lot of good success without really stepping on prior to it. It was just like, hey, hunting season's here, let's go hunt this property. We never hunted it before and it hasn't been hunted. Let's see how it plays out. And, now that we did and walk through it during turkey season a little bit more too, and mark some areas so I know like where I want to go and everything like that, so it's not just going to be like la la land. But so I'm excited to get to see how transpires, and we could talk about that next week.
Yeah, absolutely. I still don't have a camera out. I don't know how many times I'm going to say that before I actually just force myself to go out and do it, but it's ridiculous. I have no, for some reason, I have no interest or like I'm excited about getting pictures of velvet deer, but I don't have any motivation to do the work right now for some reason. I think it's just because of where I'm at in the summer, as far as like event, like kids activities and stuff like that, vacations and stuff. Once baseball's over, I'll be able to get, you know, a lot, put a lot of more time and energy into it, which is only 3 weeks right from now. But I want those velvet picks, dude. That's one of my favorite things about the yearly, you know, we do a shed hunt, we do all these other things. And the best part about it is the extra activities with deer hunting that are outside of the hunting season. And so one of my favorite things is to get, you know, it's like, dude, last year I was checking my phone in the middle of the night, like, bing. It's like, oh, let's see what's on there. Oh, it's just a doe. So I'm not only am I just ruining my sleep for a doe, but then that big buck, that big buck shows up on cell cam and it sends it to me. I know this deer is 4 hours away, and so my wife's like, what are you doing? She's like half asleep, the light shining in her face, and I'm zooming in on antler characteristics. And she's like, she's so pissed, and I'm so jacked. I'm like, oh, that's a shooter. She's like, go to sleep. And I'm like, shut up. I got to kill this deer, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I don't know, man. Topic today. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I think like complicating things, overcomplicating things, maybe it's an experience thing. All right. I want to talk a little bit about the decision-making process and what that looks like for you on where to hunt and what deer to go after. Like, so I'm going to go off on I'm just going to start saying buzzwords right now. And this is the type of stuff that I want to talk about. Okay, Jeremy, I want to talk about access routes, wind direction, thermals, time of year. Like how does that decision get made in our heads for someone like us, who I would say has more experience than the average Joe in hunting, who maybe only cares. And not to say that they know less than us, but they probably put in more,
right?
They probably put in less time than us, or even along the lines of a new guy who's just like, man, I don't know anything about thermals. I don't know anything about terrain features, like stuff like that. So do you feel that the decisions that we make become easier over time, or do we overcomplicate everything?
I think that's a very good discussion that we could have, because these are discussions I even have with my dad, and we have them like every year. And it's a topic where, like, I feel like things change and things, it's like depending on the situation. And I don't want to make that a cop out, but like, I know for a fact, like for us, where my dad and I grew up hunting and still hunt to this day, I mean, there's certain times where you're thinking like, this is the prime spot because of where my thermals are going, just like where the deer tend to go and feed and where they're going back to bed. Like, we should be perfect. And then like the deer comes from the total opposite direction and you're like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? But it does, as far as like trying not to overcomplicate things, like those situations are the ones that like make you think, and like where you can then become overcomplicate the situation and your decisions. But I remember, man, sitting here maybe, you know, 6+ years ago, I'd know for a fact, and there are times where I still make it difficult on myself, but then it's like you have to pull it back a little bit and just go, because like you were saying, there's people that have either less time, more time, the same amount of time. But like for me, I have to go whenever I'm able to, you know what I mean? I mean, I do have that ability at some points of the year where I'm like, this is the time I'm going, personal days, all that type of stuff. But at the other side of things, it's a weekend situation, right? Like or a random off day during the week for that. But it's like when that time comes, I have to not overcomplicate it. You know what I mean? Like that's where that really does come into play, because then you're just playing mind games on yourself. So yeah, I mean, I really do try not to, because then you're in your head as you're walking in, not maybe paying attention to the sign that's around you and not like really being part of like this situation. So that's been a huge thing for me the last like 2 to 3 years, where I've tried not to overcomplicate it. And it seems to really have helped with more success, number one, but number two, just in enjoyment, period. Because then you're not chasing yourself, calling buddies, what do you think, and relying on that, which I think is important, no doubt. But at the same time, like, you're not going to drive yourself absolutely bonkers over a deer.
Yeah. I do that every year, dude. It's so stupid. I'm driving down the road on the way to the hunting property. It's like 2 o'clock. I probably should be in the stand already. I'm driving there and I'm just like, okay, I got this wind. All right. Yeah. I got to go there. No. It's almost like I'm putting more weight on the negative aspects of it, of what could possibly happen. Well, it's like, Jesus, there is a trail downwind of me. What happens if he comes on that way? Well, what happens if he does this? Well, what happens if he does that? And then the next thing you know, you're just only finding reasons to not go in the woods for after a deer. And so really what I've done, honestly, in the past couple of years is I say, I'm after this deer. I know I'm getting busted. It's almost like I'm going in with a negative outlook and I'm going, I know I'm going to get busted here. I know he's going to do this. But if he does what he's supposed to do, which happens more times than a guy would think, then I'll have a shot opportunity at him. Right. And so now I'm kind of shifting. I still have kind of a negative mindset, but I'm using it for the decision. I don't know. Like, yeah, this is a good spot and the wind is doing this and the thermals will do this. And I know I'm going to get busted because more than likely he's going to come downwind to me. But if he doesn't, and I don't know, that kind of seems like a messed up way to make your decisions on what tree stand to use. And then there's also some days where I will catch myself overthinking and then I'll just say, fuck it. I don't know if you ever do that and you're just, screw it, I'm going in the woods. And you just find a tree and you set up based off of a terrain feature or something like that. The wind is basically, it's just the wind in your favor. The access route is probably okay. And then all you want is deer in front of you. And so that's the goal. And so then those days I seem to have a little bit seem to be better hunts than when I really overthink everything.
Yeah, last year there was a particular hunt, and I think I brought it up one other time, but like it was the end of October, so it was like mid, like that, like early 20-ish time frame of October this past year, and same thing. There was an area that my dad and I scouted beforehand. We didn't throw a camera down there just yet, and I was like, you know what, I want to go put a camera down here, Dad, so that way we have some like future intel on like what rut activity is. This is where I grew up hunting, in that one area. We just left that side go for so many years. We always walk through it at some point during postseason. We're like, we need to hunt this. Yeah. And I said, I'm finally going in there. And I was like, the wind's right. The wind's not right for where we usually set up. And like, I like to go on the one side of the mountain. I said, I'm going down in there. I said, I should be fine. I said, the only thing that's going to maybe bust me if this wind switches later on in the evening, but what the hell, I'm going down in there. And it was great. It was a phenomenal hunt. I saw about my dad and I were just talking about this, like 10 to a dozen deer, from young bucks to doe. And then later on in the evening, I had this one doe come sneak in. I was like, because I have a doe tag for this unit. Like, do I let it rip just to have just to have fun, like type of ordeal, shoot something. And then as I'm like contemplating it, I'm noticing she's acting like a little bit different coming from like the thick stuff. And I look and I was like, oh, that's a buck. Like that's a pretty good buck. And he started coming and I literally like where I was in my saddle, the way I was positioned. And next thing you know, I just felt the wind just switch, do exactly what it said it was going to do. And it hit my neck and it went right to him. And he just stopped like dead in his tracks and just kind of like head up a little bit, moseyed again, like head back up, moseyed down, looked at the doe. She kind of like was like working towards him. And then next thing you know it, he just like turned around and just walked right back to where he came from. Like didn't bound off, didn't do anything. And I was just like, and I, once I got eyes on him, like with my bind, I was just like, yeah, I definitely would have drew back on him.
Yeah.
But like, again, it was a situation where we haven't been down in there a very long time. It called for like good wind for 90% of the day. And for early morning, like it was perfect because I was a little bit lower. Like, so my thermals would have been rising up the mountain, depending on how the trees are and everything else. Hopefully it would even get above it, where if a deer was coming from the next ridge above me, hopefully maybe would even go above them. So I took that chance. And like I said, I had a great hunt. I have no regrets about it. And my dad hunted there during the rut and drew back, released an arrow, but he missed. But he was like, oh my gosh, it was just so fun down there. It was great. And So we left the camera down there for all year and everything like that. But I mean, the decision to go down there was mainly with the wind, and because the wind in my usual area was not good, and it was good on that side. And so that's what dictated for me. I mean, the thermals, I definitely see how they play and they are a factor, but for me it's wind is kind of my main thing. Just because I'm not one that does crazy scent control type stuff. I mean, I do it, but I don't do it to the extent of like
crazy person.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I saw this app.
I got a hit.
In the new limited series, DTF St. Louis, Jason Bateman, David Harbour, and Linda Cardellini star as three suburbanites who spice up their love lives.
Wow.
Don't miss the new HBO original limited series, DTF St. Louis, premiering March 1st on HBO Max.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
Man, I often wonder if there was a statistic. Do you know, like after you die, after you die and you wake up wherever you wake up, heaven or whatever, and there's a computer in front of you and it allows you to look up any type of statistic that you want about your life. Like, how many times did I have sex? How many hot dogs have I ever eaten in your entire life? Right. And just look up crazy statistics like that. I wonder what would be the craziest statistic from I've killed more deer in bedding areas, or like I've killed more deer in transitions or pinch points or staging areas, or, you know, the temperature, like what has been the biggest temperature change, or like on days, like what days that I kill on is what are the conditions like on those days?
Right.
And I feel like I used to, back in the day, I don't know if this makes sense or not, I feel like I used to kill deer in shitty weather days. And that was the thing that when I grew up, I was told by the people who I knew, dude, deer move on shitty weather days. So like, not necessarily a rain, but like, you know, some of those late October, early November mornings where it's just like a fog and a mist in the air. And I used to think that those were the best days to kill deer. And then the second half of my hunting career, I feel like I've killed more days on no clouds in the sky mornings, or maybe the second the sun goes behind the tree levels is when the deer pop up. And so I don't know if this is just a specific circumstance, or if there's actually any scientific data that goes along with it, but I wish I could dive in to all of the exact days. Like why did I kill on this day?
Right. Yeah. The one piece that always drives me crazy and a stat that I would want to know is like deer movement on like very windy days.
Yeah.
That's one for me. Cause like I've seen deer where I was always told like crazy windy days, like when it is blowing, like they're not moving. And then I won't forget one day I was in the tree and it was just howling. And it was like one of those days where you're like holding on, and up, I just see like from 80 yards up out, like this buck just like just moseying up the trail. I'm like, what is this? Like, and it was like a good buck. It wasn't just like a little dink. I was like, what the hell is going on here? Like, why? Like, it totally just went against everything that I was ever told. And, you know what I mean? So I'm like, I don't know.
You know, they've done studies on that. And so I think it's like 20 or 25 miles an hour is the key point there. So anything north of 25 miles an hour, deer move more than, let's say, 0 to 20 miles an hour.
Okay.
So deer do move more in actually the windiest conditions based off of collared deer studies. And so, you know, all of this data has come out about moon phase doesn't necessarily play a role. Like weather doesn't necessarily, like, I don't know. I'm really torn about this because I feel like time of year plays a big role. The time of year plays the biggest role according to scientific studies. Moon phase does not, weather typically does not, like rain events, typically do not, but also collared deer studies and perceived, data by hunters in tree stands may differ, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So this, like, but here's what I do. I've killed most of my deer between November 1st and November 7th with a couple outliers going past. I think I've only killed two deer past November 10th, and that would have been November 12th and November 14th one year.
Yeah.
And the year I killed my deer on the 14th, I swear to God, my wife was about ready to leave me. Like she was pissed that I was hunting so much.
Yeah.
But now, is that the fact that I kill more deer? Like what does the weather pattern or anything of the breeding cycle have to do with that? Or is it just because I spend more time in the woods the first week in November?
Right.
The pre-rut time frame. Maybe that's a me thing and not a deer thing. And so, of course, if you're in the woods, you have a higher chance of killing a deer. And the movement is obviously more because you're in the woods and you get to see it as opposed to what you think's going on before or after you spend a week in the woods.
You know, I think a lot of that holds value because I would say, like I mentioned earlier, about the last 2 to 3 years being a little bit more successful and having opportunities. And those years prior, I would have opportunities and maybe I just messed them up, which I know I did. And it's been documented about that. But I would say like the last 2 to 3 years, I've been more selective and doing what you just said, spending more time in the woods like during that time frame. Mm-hmm. Whereas like in years past, like what you mentioned, it'd be like October 7th. And if it was like a Wednesday and the first cold front was coming in and it was dropping. And I mean, like, I'm saying like it went from like, say, 65 degrees to a 42 degree morning or a 40 degree morning. Like I got sick that day. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And I would go out there and I'd be like, I'm going to a good spot. I'm not just picking a spot. I'm going to ones that I scouted, and I wouldn't see absolutely jack shit all day.
Yeah.
And like when those happen, man, like that's like that puts a hard dent on you a little bit. And you're like, man. And then it's like when that happens year after year, that's when I was like, you know what? Like, I know when my cameras are usually have lit up like over the lot, like, and I don't mean like, I used to use them for like in like real time. I'm saying from years past, like, okay, I know last year at this spot, like I had a lot of deer movement from October 27th through November 7th. Like that was like a good, whatever, 11 day window. And next thing you know, it's like when I started spending more time in consecutive days and not using those random days and using like consecutive days, like you said, more time in there. That's when I started seeing better deer, more opportunities. And that's where like now, like those early season cold fronts, they'll only fire me up if it's a Saturday. Other than that, I'm not touching it. You know what I mean?
And that, I feel like me and you have talked about that 100 times over the course of my podcasting. And so like something there's the Dan Johnson that was 2006 to 2016. You know, I was unsuccessful more than I was successful. And then from 2016 to 2024, this past season, I've killed a buck every single year. Not one in Iowa this past year. I passed a ton of good ones, but the ones that I wanted didn't show up. But then I went to Kansas and shot a good deer. So I've definitely found more success. And honestly, I think this is crazy, but I feel like from 2006 to 2016, that 10-year window, I hunted a ton. Mm-hmm. I was in the woods a ton. I was jumping all over the place. I was hunting more days. Then in 2012, I had kids, right? And so, and then from the time that my daughter was a baby in 2013, I guess it was, 2013 is when I had my first kid in February, to 2016, when things started shifting for me, I was still hunting a lot. Well, now in 2016, I had two kids, a toddler and a baby. And then in 2017, I had a third child. And so what was I doing? I was spending less time in the woods.
Yep.
And so maybe there's a correlation there. Maybe it's right. Like, dude, you're saturating the woods with pressure. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden there's no more pressure. And now all you're doing is you're popping in and then you're coming home. You're popping in. And, you know, I didn't necessarily take full weeks per se going at hard. There was times where I would go a little bit and then I'd come home for a little bit. And then there were some times where I went in for an entire week. But a couple things, man, I think that truly helped was I was more focused on what I needed to do. So like right now, let's say I have all these kids activities. Dude, I'm on Onyx, or I was on Onyx all the time. Like I was just boop, 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 going in, zooming out, looking for different places. Hypothetically, I went through a period where I was straight up getting as much knowledge and hypothetical scenarios, not just on the farm as a whole, but every single terrain feature on the farm.
Right.
And so then you take that with the previous 10 years of me actually being in the woods and all of the time I spent there. Now I know the farms. Like I know them back. Yep. Like I just know them. And so because of that, now I can go in, I'm laying off of the deer, and now I'm coming back and just taking these surgical strikes 1 week at a time, or maybe a weekend here, weekend there. This year's going to be different because I'm going to go after more meat for the freezer. But outside of that, dude, less time in the woods just seems to have done it for me. And that's when all of my success really started coming.
And I think too, like, and if someone is listening and they're like, man, I just love getting out there and there's not a problem with that, then say like, that's where scouting those other spots. Like that's why last week when I said I scouted locally for doe spots, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like we think, and you were, as you were saying that, I'm like, we put a lot of pressure on our camp last year just because we would go up every weekend or every other weekend or something along those lines. And there were weekends where we didn't go up, like even that late October, mm-hmm. like main rut time, we actually did not go out hunt that area. We hunted other spots. I was in Ohio, a couple other buddies went other areas, but early on October, but we did that to get a lay of the land and see what deer were doing and seeing mm-hmm. what the sign was like. So we kind of did that on purpose, but that's why I like to have at least one little hunt. I don't want to say honey hole, but like, why I like to at least have a couple places here around me on public that I could just pop onto, or a buddy of mine that does have land. It's like, hey, come up and hunt. Like we need some doe taken out. Like they're the ones that I get fired up about, just because, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love an opportunity on a buck, but like, I would feel so bad if like, you're like, hey, come hunt my property. I ran up like shooting the buck that someone's been after for a couple of years or something like that. I would feel so bad. So it's like kind of like one of those deals where if someone says doe, I'm like, let me be there because I just love bringing my bow in the woods, you know, drawing back and hopefully put on a good shot. So like, that's that, do that, like save those areas, because Dan, I'm telling you the same thing, like with my dad. I mean, my dad's hunted that mountain for 30 plus years and has had a lot of success. And, over the last couple, like he's kind of blundered a couple shots, and you know, that's a different topic, but at the same time, like he's had opportunities on really good deer, and it's because he's not going up there October the first day, the next day, the next, like he's, hey Jared, when you plan on coming in? I'm like, well, we're not hunting those spots until like mid to late October. And like, that's what we do. And we give it then, you know, if I only come in for the hunt that Saturday of, I'm throwing a date out there, like a 23rd, it's not getting hunted again until the next week. And then from there, that's when we do spend more time in.
Yeah. Man, it's.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole deck with galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth. Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Now that we're starting to have this conversation, it also kind of just depends on what the goals are, right?
Right.
If your goal is to fill your freezer, dude, go out. Like, there's going to be a doe group for you to find somewhere, right? Except if you like live in Vermont or someplace like that, where there's like one deer per square mile or whatever the statistic is. But if you're a Midwestern guy or a Southern guy and your area carries a ton of deer and you want to go out and have fun, like for me, I am going to go to my best spots for youth season this year. And I'm going to put my daughter and my son in a ground blind, and we're going to smoke something. Like I just have a really good feeling about that this year. And I don't care if I bust out the biggest buck, we're going to go there and we're going to find something to shoot. Right. And I don't care if it's a doe or a buck or whatever. And we're going to do it. And I don't care about that anymore. I don't care about me filling the big buck tag anymore, because I know I'm going to have plenty of time and opportunities the coming weeks or in the coming months. So yeah, I'm trying to find a scenario where I can put my kid in a good spot and, smoke something that comes by, man. I don't know. I just want to hunt more. Over the years, I've been so focused on antlers and mature bucks and all that shit, man. I honestly just want to fill tags. There's something cool, man. There is something really cool about opening up a freezer full of fucking meat, man. Like, oh, I love breakfast sausages. Mm-hmm. I'm going to kill a doe this year and I'm going to turn her into breakfast sausages. Every ounce of her meat is going to go into breakfast sausages. Right. So like,
yep.
That's the kind of shit that, fires me up. And then there's a whole nother conversation about like, it's harder to find big bucks these days if you don't own and manage ground. Right. And so all of that stuff. And I'm just out for the experience now. I've killed a handful of good deer over the course of the year. I just want to get out as much as humanly possible, in the right times, with the people that I want to be with. And I think at the end of the day, if I can do that, that's a successful season, whether I kill a giant or not.
Right. I think that's what the beauty of deer hunting really, like about your chase really is. Like, there's so many scenarios and paths that an individual can go down. And like, I think it's really dumb when people shit on how another person's like what path they choose, right? Just because I'm not chasing the biggest buck doesn't make me a less of a hunter or an individual than you, right? Yep. Like that's just the path that like you chose and I chose, because like you just said, like you want to hunt more. You filling tags are a lot of fun. A couple years ago when I did that, like that was so much fun. Like you said, I turned a doe all into one doe was breakfast sausage and jerky. That's it. Yep. I didn't have any other anything else made out of her. Those two things, because I love jerky, and like you, Dan, I love the breakfast sausage. So then, like, then you have that chase where it's like, I am hunting one particular deer. Go after it, man. Like, have at it. Like, have lick your wounds and have and taste the victory when you hopefully get a chance to do that. You have someone that just wants to go on that killing spree of does and whatever it be, like have at it. You want to hunt more with your kid, with your friends. There's a camp, like there's so many different like columns of things that you can do as a hunter. Just enjoy it. And 100%. Like that, you know what I mean? Like that's the beauty of it. And like, I don't know. I just, again, I think the way social media has like has gloated so many different things, not just hunting, but like it doesn't matter. Like like you're not walking in my shoes, I'm not walking in your shoes. Just let people have fun and like, I don't know. That's the beauty of it, I think, is because there are so many different paths that a person could take on their hunting season journey. And like what you said earlier, like, what are your goals? What are your priorities for that season? Like, have fun. Like a couple years ago for me, it was to fill as many tags as possible. And whatever made me draw my bow back, I was going to let it rip. Last year, I really wanted to kill an Ohio buck, and I did. And it was a fun hunt with buddies. This year for PA, and I killed my PA buck tag in rifle season. This year, I do want to be a little bit more picky with the bow in hand, unless that changes in the heat of the moment. Like, I don't know. Right. Like, but like going into it, that's what I'm saying, because then it's like, okay, I do have the equalizer camp, all that stuff, like with the rifle. And that was so much fun. Like the most fun hunting I've had in a long time with buddies chasing and all that stuff. And that opportunity will be there too. So it's like, man, I'm just, like you said, I'm kind of just letting it rip and having fun with it.
Yeah. 100%. And that's how it should be, man. Like imagine, there have been seasons in the past where I started getting stressed. Like, dude, why is this giant not showing up? Because I had pictures of him from before cell cams, like August, or man, where's he at? Where's he at? And I'm doing everything I can to find him. And I was just losing. I was losing the point of this and how it was supposed to be a fun thing. And I was so concerned with, I got to shoot a big mature buck. And I made a promise to myself years ago, where I was like, dude, if I am not having fun doing, like, especially with when I was filming all my hunts a long time ago, and I was like, I was filming my hunts. I was trying to find like big bucks to kill, and I wasn't getting it done. And I was putting a ton of pressure on it. And I made a promise to myself, dude, if the pursuit of killing a big buck just for video is making me unhappy, well, then I need to stop filming. And so I kind of did that in 2014. And then I kind of switched to the podcast game. But that's when, like, all of this shit, like, I got to have fun, man. I got, you got to have fun, because life is so stressful anyway, if you're just wasting your time stressing over something that isn't real, then. And that's why I like taking my kids out, because honestly, it is stressful going with my kids hunting, but then the game changes. So where it's like, you still have to be quiet. You still can't move, but you also have to have an opportunity. You have to, like, anything that shows up is a target now.
Yeah.
As opposed to, oh, a doe group walks by. Well, I'm not shooting that. Or a little buck shows up. Well, I'm not shooting that. Like, I can't wait for my son, my oldest boy. This is going to be his first year doing deer hunting. He will be 10, and I'm taking him youth hunting. And that kid is going to shoot the first animal that walks by. I'm probably going to have to hold him off of like a raccoon or a squirrel or something like that, because he's going to want to pull the trigger on something.
Yeah.
And so I have a list of areas that I think are going to be good for us to go and try. And I just know that, like, when that time comes, dude, he's going to be he's going to get fired up.
Yeah, that's awesome. My buddy Jake, his son, he's killed his first whitetails this past year, I think. Yeah. And he's a friggin' phenomenal shot with his bow. Like, he's so good with it. And he's, man, he might be, I forget how old he is, but he's a good shot. But I remember asking Jake, I'm like, how bad is, before he killed his first whitetail, like, how bad does he want? He's like, oh, dude, he is just bloodthirsty.
Yeah.
It's just like, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, man, this has been a good conversation. Obviously, we have many more of these throughout the summer that we're going to record. Jeremy, man, really appreciate you taking time out of your day to do this. If you guys have any questions about Jeremy, strategy or tactics, I strongly suggest, especially up in the northeast part of the United States where Jeremy hunts in Pennsylvania and Ohio, reach out to him via his Instagram, Antler Up. I'm sure he'd be willing to take the time to help answer any questions, and definitely go check out the Antler Up podcast on the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network. And there he has a ton of great conversations. I like kind of what you're doing there now. You're talking a lot about like prep and gear, and not only just like prep for the hunting season, but just like prepping for life type of conversations. And I really like that. So really good conversation over at the Antler Up podcast. I think eventually these episodes will launch there as well.
Yep.
So keep an eye out for that. But, Jeremy, any final thoughts before we end today?
No, man, I'm appreciate you having me on, and I'm excited. There's a ton of different topics that I'm starting to jot down in my notes thing that you and I could hit up if there's days where we're like, what do we want to talk about? So I'm excited. Yep. There's a bunch of different things that we can go for, and this just fires me up getting ready for deer season, man. So thanks,
absolutely, Dan. Absolutely. All right, everybody, good vibes in, good vibes out, and we'll talk to you when we talk to you.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.